You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by White Oak Pastures. White Oak Pastures cattle are raised in a manner that has stood the test of time. It begins with southern sunshine, unpolluted country air, and fertile coastal soil. The cattle are allowed to roam the pastures and graze freely on sweet native grasses all their lives. For more information, go to www.whiteoakpastures.com.
You're about to hear an episode of Catch It, Cook It, Eat It, recorded live from the field. Enjoy.
We're in the middle of a lobster war. It's not just about the lobster roll. This is about restaurants and whether restaurants and restaurant concepts can be protected by law. Here we are in New York City, where the food feuds and the fish wars are fierce. So we're about to check out three different restaurant locations that are at the heart of a very heated debate.
All sort of have a similar look, very, very similar menu, and they're all, I would say, competing for the same customer. And then the question becomes, which is your favorite place? And do you give credit to the person who does these menu items the best, or do you give credit to the person who came up with the whole concept or idea first?
So whether you're an adherent or a diehard fan to Ed's, Pearl, or Mary's Fish Camp, it's pretty obvious that certain concepts have been duplicated. So here we are with Pearl Oyster Bar, really the first restaurant to open of its kind.
Rebecca Charles, who for many years has been turning out some of the best New England style seafood that the city has. It's become quite a trend to duplicate, if not copy, Rebecca's style and some of her cooking techniques.
Lobster rolls, chowder, and steamers in New York City. I'm not even sure what I'm doing right now.
And I've found a diehard fan next to me who claims that this is the best lobster roll in the city. These places really have their dedicated followers, and they will not, under any circumstances, go to the competition.
In the case of Charles versus McFarland, Rebecca Charles sues Ed McFarland for plagiarizing her restaurant concept.
The big debate is whether recipes and restaurant design concept can be protected as intellectual property, and whether or not somebody can come and duplicate your restaurant with significant similarities and get away with it.
So Mary and Rebecca were in a relationship. Mary and Rebecca broke up, and Mary started Mary's Fish Camp just 2 minutes down the street from Pearl Oyster Bar. Needless to say, there was a major, major feud going on, and the customers had to split. There were diehard Mary fans, diehard Rebecca fans, and you either went to one restaurant or you went to the other restaurant, but you didn't go to both restaurants.
Rebecca Charles was the first person to open a little place like this about 10 years ago, where we are now, which is Pearl Oyster Bar. And she was bringing sort of a New England Maine flavor to the city for the first time. Rebecca's sous chef, who worked for her for 6 years, went and opened up Ed's Lobster Bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Soho. And just completely,
duplicated
everything. And she was like, this is now the second time that somebody who's, either been in a relationship with her or worked with her in the restaurant has gone and essentially copied her ideas. So that if you go and duplicate that in another restaurant, you're sort of, she's already done the hard work for you, which is putting the concept together.
We're still trying to get to the bottom of what became an out-of-court settlement, where it appears that Ed was forced to make certain changes to the restaurant, which is he had to change the wainscoting and the paint job, the backs of the chairs, and certain menu items that he was claiming were his own invention and actually attaching his name to the menu item. Rebecca clearly had some things to say about that.
The lawsuit was the first of its kind, and if it went to court, it would decide once and for all if restaurant concepts and ideas were considered intellectual property.
If Rebecca won, it meant that restaurant concepts were intellectual properties and could be protected. If she lost, it meant that, in essence, anything was up for grabs, and ideas and menu items cannot be protected.
Rebecca Charles was quoted as saying, "I understand chefs borrow ideas, but this is a direct copy."
So the one thing we do know is that certain elements had to change. Ed, from Ed's Lobster Bar on Lafayette, was essentially forced to change certain visual elements in the restaurant. Namely, the wainscoting, which needed to be painted not to the exact color of Rebecca's restaurant. Certain menu items, Ed's Lobster Bar bouillabaisse, had to be changed to what they now are calling New York seafood stew.
McFarland's lawyer was quoted as saying, "I didn't know Caesar salad could be protected under intellectual property laws."
I would assume, right?
Yeah, I can try.
You can do it through it, yeah. Great, thanks. Cool. So the Brooklyn Chowder Surfer is very pleased with this lobster roll. Now we're looking at a wonderful, wonderful Caesar salad. And you may notice that the Caesar salads are suspiciously similar in each location, but as I look at this one, I'm realizing that it's lighter, much lighter in its dressing application. And the big question of debate is whether or not these are a crouton made of croutons, be it a white bread of some sort, or if these are the debated English muffin. So it seems like Ed Caesar salad is still on the menu with the very same English muffin croutons.
No, I wouldn't say that one is a copy of the other. I think that they are very different and they do have similarities on the menu, but for the most part, one is more laid back, one is fancier.
Well, it's pretty clear, according to the customers, that Mary's Fish Camp is in no way a knockoff of Pearl Oyster Bar. I would just ask, if everybody's been to Maine, they've been to the coast of Massachusetts, all over New England, why is it that they can't do a proper lobster roll? Copy or no copy, I think I'd still be annoyed if my girlfriend chose to open her fish restaurant like 3 blocks from mine. Why not go to the other end of town? East, west, uptown, downtown, but like doors away from each other? This is a tough, tough. Sure enough, right down to the toilet paper, it appears Ed's is a complete knockoff of Pearl. But as it stands, sometimes knockoffs are better than their originals.
Oh, sure. My idea, I don't think, is anything original.
Right.
It's been done 1,000 times in other places, just where the first ones in Williamsburg.
In Williamsburg, okay.
What does bother me is when everybody opens up and they just take your exact concept
right. And
open up. It's great you're opening another coffee shop because ultimately it keeps me on my toes to do better and keep the quality up. But it's like, could you not use the exact same coffees? Could you not use the exact same bakery? Could you not use the, you know, there's a dozen dairies out there. Why do you have to use my dairy? Why do you have to use my bakery when this is the capital of bagels and you're using the same bagel shop I'm using?
Right. You know? And shoestring fries, pretty much very similar. Very similar. The question is, what kind of bun? Pepperidge Farm top loader with like a sweet sourdough, probably. Without getting too far into detail, you may notice that quite a few of the menu items are distinctly similar. What would you say is the inspiration behind a place like this? Because you're from New York, right? So you have to have a, like, you're bringing in New York pieces to it, like the pickles.
Yeah.
But then you're bringing in a little New England flavor, because I'm from Boston.
Okay.
Right? So what would you say?
You know, I have a deep appreciation of lobster in general.
Right.
I so enjoy just eating whole lobsters
right
out of the shell, no butter, nothing. Just crack them and eat them.
Yeah.
So, and I've been cooking seafood for such a long time, yeah. And it kind of just melded well to get a whole New England and New York thing put together for myself.
Cool. Ed McFarland claims complete innocence in terms of menu items and decor. In everything that you've done, are there knockoffs of your efforts?
Well, I know that there are.
Okay.
I know there are specific copies of this place. I don't think people tried to imitate us directly. I know that people saw that we did well and thought that they could do the same thing, you know, in our old place. Again, I just think that they were devoid of the real passion or interest in making something worthwhile.
Right. Do you think it's fair to say that, you know, like, someone's restaurant concept is their own and can't be stolen or taken, copied?
No, I don't think that's fair.
I kind of feel like it's one or the other. It's like, okay, if you're going to take, you know, ideas from visually from the restaurant, then you better make a very different menu. Or
something.
Or the opposite, right?
Mm-hmm. Or I mean, Mary's has a different feel.
Totally different feel.
And the menu's
pretty different too,
Mary's
in a way.
And they can't see it all too.
Yep, yeah. Right. But then there's the other argument, which a lot of people say, which is like, how many hundreds of fish shacks are there all throughout Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, you know, New England? Like, how can you take claim to, lay claim to seafood shacks?
You know, in the restaurant industry, you know? I don't think you should be doing it.
So when I hire people, ultimately there is a trust. I have to put a trust in them, mm-hmm. and they have to put trust in me that they're going to get a paycheck, they're going to have a safe place to work, mm-hmm. and I'm expecting a trust from them that they're not going to steal and they're going to, you know, and show up at work on job and do a good job too.
Right, and they're not going to hand out your recipes or
ultimately hand out the recipes. Exactly.
The first person who asks them.
Absolutely. And we.
So while it's pretty lame to knock off someone's exact restaurant concept, what Rebecca has to worry about is really not the fact that Ed has knocked off her restaurant. She has to worry about the fact that Ed is doing her menu items, her inventions, her creations better than she's doing.
Absolutely. So what I looked at was I was in the coffee industry for 15 years doing roasting, service, everything. I looked at the stores that I felt are still in business, still making money, and still alive, and what I liked about them and tried to combine them with my concept.
Okay.
So ultimately, my concept's not 100% rip-off of one person. It's a rip-off of, let's say, 10 different places. Or a little bit of what I liked about all these places and tried to emulate what they do. Some of it could just been on the management side. Some of it could actually be on the aesthetic side, and some of it could be on the product side.
If there was a way to protect your ideas, do you think you would use it?
No.
Okay.
Probably not.
Okay.
Because the energy to enforce it or follow up with it, is it worth it or not worth it? Depends on, my idea. I don't know.
Right. But, I mean, you are somebody who has developed not just a unique product, but an aesthetic to your stores, to your color scheme even.
Sure, okay.
Would you be horribly angry if someone were to open up
Yes. Mm. Yeah, 100% knockoff? Absolutely. Back to... use your own creativity. You can do some things. Doesn't take much.
Right.
You know.
And would it make a difference whether it was in the city, in Brooklyn, in, you know, where that location was?
You know, I guess it would be flattering if someone did it. But long as it's not next door or in my direct competition.
Exactly. Can you say that again?
The Soup Nazi, perfect example, did everything he could do to protect his recipes. Until Elaine found his armoire and stole the recipes and shut him down.
Perfect.
You know, ultimately, if you're a successful concept, people come in there, they like the place, they like the feel.
Right.
Eventually, one of those persons is going to be an entrepreneur and say, wait, they're making money. They make it look easy, they're making money. Mm-hmm. Let's open up one. I mean, you know, and then they duplicate the idea or somehow copy the idea. It's going to happen. Yeah. And as much as it's painful to have competition open next door, it's ultimately flattering because they obviously liked your idea and loved it so much they were trying to duplicate it.
Mm-hmm. Do you, you know, if you had a great employee who, you know, had that fire in their eyes and they came to you and they said, hey, you know, like, I don't have the money to start this, but would you consider doing this?
Absolutely, absolutely. 100% behind it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I want. And then, I mean, it's flattering to me that I taught them that much, that they can move on to their own.
Right.
And then ownership in the game, that they're not competing with me, we're working together to build a bigger brand, or, you know.
Is it wrong to rip off other people's restaurant ideas?
Yes. Concept is different.
Yeah.
It's a handful of ones that I looked at that I analyzed and thought did a good job. So ultimately, yes. My idea is not a direct rip off of someone else's.
There's such a thing as original ideas.
I think there's arguments in both ways. You could say nothing's original or that everything's original.
Piss you off then when you see somebody doing what you're doing, but with like, not the same amount of care and passion, but you know, borrowing ideas?
Oh, it's hugely frustrating. When you spend so much time and effort trying to create something and somebody else says, oh, that's a good idea, I'll use it. It's like, okay, where was your effort? Right. Where was your thought? Where was your originality?
Right.
And it's hollow.
Yeah.
Do you think
you could use that door as an analogy? The door is cheap and hollow. That's what they... I mean, yeah, it was pretty on the outside, but had no substance.
So the big overriding question is, would you say that stealing ideas is fair or unfair?
Well, it's the nature of things. It's a blessing to those people that don't have the creativity or passion. Just as copying somebody else's painting or borrowing their styles is the nature of a less passionate or skilled person. It's fair because it's out there and it's there for the taking. It's, it sucks, and it's rude, mean-spirited, and it's admitting your own lack of originality, lack of skill.
If there was a way to protect restaurant ideas, concept, menu items, all this stuff, do you think you would use it?
Oh, certainly. Somebody who opens up next door with an exact copy of my plate is likely going to get, a third to half of my business. Because it's the exact same thing. If people like my place, they'll like that.
Yeah.
And if people, even if it kind of sucks, they'll still get it for some portion of my business. And that's thanks to my efforts. I would probably not ever be friends with them. I would not have much to say.
You might also say that it's good for competition, you know what I mean? Because now suddenly you've got someone doing the same menu as you, only putting more care and attention into it. Suddenly you don't have the, you've got to sort of ramp everything up because very easy comparisons are made when you're making the same thing.
We're glad to support.
And if somebody were to walk to Oslo a few weeks after her opening and say, JD, Susie's actually making a better cup than you down the street, would that be helpful to your business?
Would it be helpful? I guess it would hurt me a little bit.
Emotionally.
And the only thing that might be great, I mean, in theory, I'd be excited because she's moving up the ladder. But yes, I would be probably a little disappointed and have to snap myself into gear and figure out what we're doing wrong.
So right. So competition is in some ways a good thing.
Absolutely.
Whether or not you think restaurants are intellectual property and can be protected or not protected, the good thing is competition makes the menu items a hell of a lot better.
Sometimes I find when someone opens up and they want to compete, I just don't want to play the game and compete. I just keep doing what I do and keep doing a good job because ultimately, if I'm out there to really compete with a guy, then you're going to lower the prices and you're going to do everything else. I think in the end, you're going to sacrifice what you are.
Because, I mean, if somebody were to come and they were like, they figured out not only the beans you were using, but the provider.
Yes.
The roasting time and the whatever, suddenly you're like, this guy is making the same cup of coffee as I am, which has proven itself in this neighborhood.
Yes. I would like to have my own rights to my actual product down to the name and the beans and the ingredients.
Right. You go to such, ends of the earth to protect a song.
Yeah.
Why don't they a recipe?
I don't know. But right. Yeah, ultimately a recipe
should be broken down just the same way.
Absolutely. Yeah. The ingredients, absolutely.
Right? I mean, is it fair and is it free game?
Well, if it's not, no. Well, it is fair and free game right now, the way it stands. In the court world, right?
But if that were changed as a proprietor, you would be happy to know that there's some level of protection.
Yes, actually, you're right. Yes, I would like some level. It would be nice to have some level of protection.
Sometimes in New York, I mean, I would say that New Yorkers are savvy to those sorts of things, but there's so many people that they don't even know the stories and they don't even care.
Absolutely. And right? It changes so fast.
Yeah. So you might have your diehard customers who are like, no way am I going there. I know the story. But within 10 minutes, the story's lost and there's enough people to fill it.
And the next year, it's a whole new generation that moved to the neighborhood that has no idea what it is.
Right.
And it changes that fast.
Right. Menu. Recipes, basically. This is a story pretty much about lobster rolls, and you know, if you're different spin-offs on a lobster roll, there's, you know, it's pretty much one way to do a lobster roll. But within that one way, there's probably thousands of variations on the bun, the chips, the mayo, the spices, whatever you want to use, butter, and you know, scones are your thing. It's what you're known for. It's what maybe got you your start. How protective of your scones are you and your recipes?
Well, I'm not.
Okay.
Because just as with the chef that has done our dinner menu, I can take the same elements, the same exact things that he does, and I can't make what he makes. I'm sure it's the same with what you do. Actually, I know it's the same as with what you do, because you take the same ingredients that so are the many people use, and you make something exceptional.
Trademark or copyright on a scone recipe, if you could?
It's not mine.
It's not yours. Not yours to copyright.
I mean, mine is a small, maybe a slightly changed version of something that's been made for who knows how long, and is part of the English, Irish, and Scottish cultures.
How can you trademark that?
There's something about the way that I make them versus anybody else who makes them. Yeah. And it's sometimes hard for me to tell, even myself, between me and some of the other bakers.
Yeah.
Well, what I was saying is that, you know, you asked me about the recipe, about where this came from. And I don't remember, you know, where I got the first recipe from. I tried this recipe, that recipe. I had so many recipes for scones that I used to say, most people wouldn't know that many types exist.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried everything until I was happy with what I had.
Right.
And there's differences between the Irish scones, the English scones, Scottish scones. And I just took the ones I liked and made them what I wanted them to be.
Yeah.
And so the origins are just, they come from the depth of the culture themselves, not from a specific place.
Right. You don't even have to look at the scones, to just look at Lawrence's hands to know how much work goes into those.
And the burn. it's pretty much a mess.
My question is, how much time should be spent on developing a concept versus just opening a place?
I think a lot of time should be spent on developing the concept, because that ultimately, if the concept, I mean, that's who you are as a small business. Or
you just need a hot dog roll buttered and kind of grilled on both sides or toasted, and just the lobster meat, not much else except some drawn butter on the side, and then you can put as little or, you know, as much of the butter on it as you'd like.
So it starts with a really fresh cooked product.
All right.
and then we only put a little bit of mayonnaise,
okay,
because we want the lobster, the sweetness of the lobster, to stand out.
Yep.
A little bit of lemon juice.
I tasted the lemon. Not everybody actually does that. Sometimes they put a slice on the side or whatever.
Yeah, no, I like the lemon juice in there. A nice quality sea salt.
Okay. What's the secret on the bun?
It's just a top slice Pepperidge Farm hot dog bun, toasted in a lot of butter.
I told you, awesome.
The bun is warm.
The bun is warm.
So you have that yin and yang thing with the warm and cold in there.
Exactly, okay.
And I probably get a little more traditional down here in New York than most others, because I do the bread and butter style pickles. So
right.
I have like a sweet and spicy pickle that I do, and
right.
It seems to go pretty well with that.
That's your little spin. That's your little touch.
Absolutely.
Ed's a pickle guy, if you haven't figured that out already. What would you say is the definition of a really good lobster roll?
Something you actually can't eat with your hands.
Okay. so over the top, brimming with flavor and lobster.
But definitely very simple.
Simple. Right.
Not too much stuff in there.
I got you.
I detest salad in my lobster roll. garnishes like this, it's just a bunch of bullshit. I don't even know why they do it. Why? Why do you put a leaf of lettuce on top of a lobster roll? Buttered top loader. Butter the inside, butter the outside, put it down on the griddle, like 2 minutes. Pull it up, throw in your cold lobster. Only change I would make is like slightly too much mayonnaise. Okay. You're from New England, right?
Yes, Massachusetts. Yes.
Massachusetts. Would you say this is a good depiction of like, I don't know, a Massachusetts sort of New England style seafood joint?
I'd say it's one of the closest in Manhattan for the seafood, but I love lobster rolls, for example, and I come here and it's served with mayonnaise and I like drawn butter. So it's not exactly the same as being in New England, but it's quaint, it's privately owned, it's cute. So there are similarities for sure, but it's not the same food.
So our last location, Ditch Plains, that is entering into the competition and yet has a whole different appearance both in the lobster roll and in the facade of the restaurant. Same neighborhood, similar menu, but variation. Best part of the job.